So Kuftas, we're on Kuftas Pasuk Yudchas. Okay, so the whole idea of this Tehillim was HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking about, or David HaMelech speaking about the Rashaim, and how David HaMelech was trying to get out of it. So let's finish it off. Yudchas Vayobash Klolak Madoi. He clothed himself with cursing, as referring to Doiga Adomi, Kimado, as if that was his garment. It came like water into himself, and like oil among his bones. Interesting, by the way, we learn from this pasuk that putting oil on the body is like drinking water for Yom Kippur purposes. That the same way you're not allowed to drink water in Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to have oil up your skin either. Now that's considered in the same level. It's learned out from this pasuk. Tilo kavegi yatet. Let it be for him like a cloak that he puts around him, and like a belt that girds him. So the idea is that the curse that the Russia tries to give to everybody else, let that work back on him. Let it be put back on him in measure for what he had done, right? That's what it should be for, so that he should get right back what he tried to give out to other people. Chazal say, that we learn from over here, you should make a bracha of each time, Ozer Yisrael Bigvura. You should belt Bnei Yisrael with power. Now, literally, it's that we're able to get up in the morning, we're able to take care of ourselves. But Ozer Yisrael Bigvura, says the Medrash, is to vanquish the Yetzirah, to get rid of those inclinations that are right over there. That Ezeu Gibor HaKovish B'Yitzro. And that's what we're saying over here. Is that we should overcome the evil that the Russia has set out for us. That's what the evil people try to do from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adovim Ra'al Nafshi, as well as those who speak evil against my soul. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do with me what your name needs us to do. Your chesed is awesome, and therefore save me when we need to be saved. It should be for your sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David Melech says. If it's just for me, I'm not going to be able to deserve it. But for them, you can Mamish do it. That's the idea behind it. Because I am poor and destitute. Libi chalal bikirbi. And my heart is hollow. It's like emptied within me. David HaMelech is saying over here, and this is a praise of himself, Libi chalal bikirbi, that my heart is empty within me. I don't have a Yetzer Hara. Now, what he means by that is that as David HaMelech went down throughout his entire life, he fought and fought and fought himself to the point came where he eventually came to the level where he couldn't sin even if he wanted to. He was like one of those guys, like, we are for Shabbos. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to turn on a light or turn off a light on Shabbos, no matter how annoying it is, right? You're not going to do that. That's where we are. We're not going to eat at McDonald's, no matter how easy it is to eat at McDonald's. We're just not going to do it. That's where David HaMelech was when it came to every sin. By this point, toward the end of his life, it's Libi Chalal B'Kirbi. My whole heart is hollow within me. I have no desire to go around there. Now, that was a good thing, obviously, because he was no longer fighting the Yetzirah, but also a bad thing. He had no will to live. He had lost his drive for life. Fighting the Yetzer Hara gives you a zest and gives you like a drive, something to do. When he no longer had it, he became cold as if there was nothing there. And that's really what happened at the beginning of Shmuel Beis, when all of a sudden, David HaMelech is pretty much gone. He doesn't want to do anything anymore. And they bring him Avishag Shunamis, right, to be able to warm him up, so to speak. I should say Malacham Aleph. It's the beginning of Malacham Aleph. They bring Avishag Shunamis to warm him up. The pshat is that they brought in another woman who he was not allowed to marry. They matured Yichud for him, that he could be in the same room as her, right? And he had to fight his Yetzer Hara. This was not a Yetzer Hara that he normally would have, because why would he be alone in a room with a beautiful lady? But they put it in there so that he had to fight a brand new Yetzer Hara that he hadn't had before. But that's what he's saying. He said, I no longer have that Chalal B'Kabi. I no longer have that Yetzer Hara that other people have. Kitzo kintoso nehalachti. I am like a shadow that is lengthened and eventually banished. Nin arti korbe. He feels like I'm fading away. I feel like a shadow that goes to the west right before it vanishes. You know, like when you're walking in the street and you see that light post. And right as you like watch your shadow close to you and then get longer and longer and longer. And then when it gets the longest that it is out there, then it disappears because you're already by another light and it's right there. That's what David HaMelech felt like. It felt like I'm lengthening like a shadow. I feel shaken off like a locust. Just like a locust doesn't have a place to go, I feel like I have no place. I don't belong here. I don't belong in this world anymore, said David HaMelech. Birkai kashlu mitzom. My knees are shaking from the fast that I have. And my flesh is lean without any fat, without anything coming to it. But I become a disgrace to them. Yeruni, they see me, Yeniun Rosham. And everyone just shakes their heads. They don't understand what's going on with me. They don't understand why I lost my zest for life. He's the king. How could he not be happy all the times? But they don't realize. Azreni Hashem Elohai, Hosheni Kachastecha. Save me, Hashem, my God. Give me a Yeshua according to your chesed. And Pasuk Chav Zayin, the Eduki Yad Chazayis. Then they'll all know that it's your hand at Hashem Asisa, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had done it. I'll make sure that everybody knows that it was you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not me. Kalu Hema Vatos Avreich. They can curse, but you can bless me. Come over Yevoshu. They'll get up and try to embarrass me. The Avdecha Yismach, but your servant is going to rejoice. I will not be afraid. I'm going to make sure it works out well. Yubishu Sotnai Klima. My enemies will then be clothed with absolute shame. Viatu Kami'io Bashtam. And they will put on their robe with embarrassment. Their own shame is going to surround them like a cloak. Oda Hashem Od Befi. HaKadosh, I will thank God very much with my mouth. Ubisoch Rabim Alanu. And I will praise God with the many, with the multitude that are around there, so to speak, as if there are so many people around. That's what I will do. Ki yamod li min avyon, because God stands at the right side of the destitute, lo shiyam yishoftei nafsho, to save them from those who are judging his soul. All the evildoers and everything like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to stand by them. We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is together with the nirdafen, those that are chased, as opposed to the rodfim, the chasers. He's always with the chasees. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you're with me, and I know you're standing next to me when I'm being chased by these evil people, by all the people that are around there. Okay.
Is that a reference that was to that. Shaul?
Doeg, Shaul, Achitofel, whoever else was around at the time. Toward the end of his life, it could have been Yeravam ben Nevat, or Sheva ben Bichri, or Avshalom. It could have been whoever it was, you know, whenever they were coming up against them, that's when it would refer to over here. All right, Kufyud. Kuf Yud Aleph, Kuf Yud Beis, and really that goes all the way to Kuf Yud Gimel. Kuf Yud Gimel, if you remember, is the start of Hallel. Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Beis are the two Tehillims that no one ever says, but is in every single sitter. You know what I'm talking about. As soon as I show it to you, you'll be like, oh yeah, that one. It's on Mincha of Shabbos. When you sit down on Mincha of Shabbos, here we go, right? By leaning, there's this, right? And there's... Oh, they took it out? Did they really take it out?
Well, this is not new.
That's hilarious.
I mean, take it out when?
I think the old art scrolls have it.
This isn't a new sitter.
I know, that's true. This might be
it's
a different
like
one.
It hasn't been so long, it disappeared.
That's strange. Well, there's two Kapitol Tehillims that they say over here that are all around in almost every sitter. Yeah, and Ashkenaz and Sephard. They're all there. It's Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Beis. We'll see them. You all know them, but it's there. So what's this exactly? So David Mizmor, Nu Mashem. So David Mizmor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Laduni, to my master, Shev Li Mini, sit on my right side, Ad Ashi Zoyvecha Hadom L'Raglecha, until I make your enemies your own footstool. So here's what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to someone, telling them to sit down on his right side, so that the enemies end up becoming the footstool. So who's David HaMelech talking about? So there are three people he was talking about. Either it's referring to Avram Avinu, or it's referring to David HaMelech himself, or it's referring to Mashiach. One of those three. And that's going to be that. Now, if it's referring to Avram Avinu, then it's referring to how Avram Avinu fought against his enemies, Nimrod, and then eventually the four kings, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them his footstool, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight for him, right, until everybody's all gone, until they're completely gone. My master could be not referring to Hashem saying my master, because obviously Avram Avinu would not be the master of God, but it referred to like David HaMelech saying it, my master Avram Avinu, so to speak, as if he's talking about his master Avram. So Ladoni Shev Liyamini, that's one way of looking at that. Another way of looking at it is, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ruled by tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it within the rules of the world that if a tzaddik becomes that great, then what he says goes automatically. And what he wants ends up being true. So that's what he set into the world itself. Avraham Avinu was therefore the master of Hashem. When he decides to do something, when he says something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills his word. The wording is, Tzaddik Gozer V'Hashem Mekayim. Tzaddik is Gozer, he makes the decree, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim at that decree. That's one way of looking at it. The third way of looking at it is Mashiach himself. It's referring to what's going to be by the times of Mashiach, that Mashiach is going to sit by the right hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's going to be the master of all of Bnei Yisrael. He's the one that's going to have all the enemies knocked under his feet. And Pasuk Beis, Mati Uzra Yishlach HaShem Etzion. There is a rod of your strength that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends out from Tzion, Ridei Bekarav Avecha, that will allow him to rule among the many enemies that are over there. Again, if we're referring to Avram Avinu, then that rule is from Malki Tzedek. Remember, he gave Malki Tzedek, brought him bread and stuff like that, and gave Avram Avinu the kahuna. If it's referring to David Melech, then it's just simply put, he had the ability to fight against all of his enemies. And if it's Mashiach, then we know what that means. That in the future, we're going to rule over everything. Amchon Yidavos B'yom Chilecha, your people, they offer themselves on the day of your army, and the day of your, you know, when everything, Bahadre Kodesh, when you show your majesty, Meirechem, when from the womb, Mishchor of dawn, Lecho Tal Yaldusecha, the dew of youth is still upon you. Now, again, this refers to how even when they got older, Avram, David, and Mashiach will still be able to fight, that they're not going to become old in that sense. Avram, you know, fought his wars when he was 75 years old. Right, that's when he started fighting. David HaMelech, okay, he was a little bit younger. 35, 40, that's when he goes out. Toward the end of his life, he had to stop. Mashiach, though, we don't know how old he's going to be. It very well could be that Mashiach is 50, 60 years old. Who knows? We literally have no idea what's going to be over here. So therefore, they're going to offer you great things on the day of your battle when they come in. And that's the idea of what's going to be. Also, it could refer to Avram Avinu and his strength. You know, Avram Avinu, when he was 140 years old, we all know, got remarried to his third wife, or possibly to Hagar again, to Keturah. And he had six more kids at 140.
Yeah, but the age is not the same then as it was now.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right, because everything was a little bit different. But I don't know if it's 140 is still at least 100 in our years. Yeah, 80, 90 in our years. Because if you live into 175, right, 140 is still, what, more than three quarters of the way there.
It's not necessarily, I'm saying, like, I'm saying they have to be like agents or age very well. When they're older.
Do they have kids then?
No, they never have kids.
Right? Oh, that's right, they can't. That's a good call.
What I'm saying is they're strong when they're older still. I'm saying they keep the strength. So I'm saying if Avram was more healthy, I'm sure back then they were.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. And you should know, by the way, according to one parish in the Medrash, those Asians are Avram's children.
Oh, really?
So they all come from Avram's children. The Indians and the Asians are all from Avram, you know. So I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to argue on that point. Pasuk Dalet, Nishba Hashem Elohim Achem. God has sworn he's not going to go back. And Ata Kohen La'olam, you're going to be a Kohen forever. Again, whether it's referring to Avram, you know, that he took the kuna from Malki Tzedek, it's referring to David Melech as being the king, it's referring to Mashiach being the leader forever. Al Divrasi Malki Tzedek, through the manner of Malki Tzedek. Now, if it's Avram Avinu, Malki Tzedek makes a lot of sense. If it's David or Mashiach, then it just means you're going to be a just king, a righteous king. That's what he's referring to. Hashem al yimincha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your right hand, mochatz biyomapa melachim. He has crushed on the day of his anger many kings. That's what he was able to destroy. Yadin bagoyim malig v'yos. He judges among the peoples, filled with corpses, mochatz roish al eretz rabah, crushing the heads over a wide land of area. And that's what the Bris Min HaBesarim was. The Bris Min HaBesarim was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram, you know, that he'd be able to do whatever he needs. And not only this time around, but the four Goliaths, the four kingdoms in the future, over Bavel and Madai, Paros and Madai, over Yavon, and eventually over Edom. And that's what's going to be over here. Some say that in the times of Tzchias HaMeisim, it's brought down in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Zohar says, in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring back Nebuchadnezzar, Sancheriv, and all the others who destroyed all the different Jews and whatever, Hitler, Yimach Shemo, everybody's going to come back, and they're going to see who the Jews are and what the Jews get, and then they're going to die again.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome for them. I think that's Tzchias HaMeisim just for that.
What gives them the zchus to have it? See, there is still,
It's not a zchus. It's the biggest punishment to them. Because you don't change after death. So they come back from Gehenna, they see it, and they go straight back to Gehenna. It's like a horrible feeling that all of their work was for naught. They didn't get anything out of it.
So why, I'm saying, wouldn't there be Jews that also don't come,
Probably.
So I'm saying, why wouldn't...
They don't see them. They don't see those. They don't see that there are people that don't come back. So then it works out well. He drinks from the river as he goes. Therefore, he is able to lift up his head. Avram was able to lift up his head in pride because he drunk from when they were hungry and thirsty, when they pursued the kings. They went after water and they were able to get water wherever they needed. That's one thing that's mentioned over here. And it could be by David HaMelech HaMashiach. Who knows what's going to be in the future? We have no idea what that war is going to be like. Maybe they did that as well. I've always had a kasha. If you look over here by Tefillas Geshem, right, when we say after the Shul Shvigalim, where is it? It's right around here, right? I wonder if this is the reference that we're referring to over here. Here we go. here. It says, Zechur of Nimshach HaRachakamayim. Remember the father who went after you like water. Berachtu Keish Shasu HaPagamayim. You blessed him. He should be like a tree upon the waters. Ginantoi. He tells me Eshu Mimayim. Right? When you helped him, you saved him from fire and from water. Derash Bazar Al Komayim. You told about him that he would plant on any bit of water and that would be there. How did Avraminu get saved from water? Well, where was there water that Avraminu ever got saved from? The Eish? Kivshan Eish. What about the Mayim?
The
wells is really a Yitzchak Avinu thing. Even by that wells, there was no danger. It's just weird. Like, the Mayim is a weird one. So I heard once that when he was on his way to the Akedah, right?
Jump over water.
Yeah, like the Sultan put a river there, right, and did that. So that I heard that that's what it's referring to. Maybe it's referring to over here. Maybe there was something that happened in the War of the Four Kings that had to do with water, and he was able to survive through that. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. Yeah, maybe. It's just a strange line. May Eishim be Mayim. Where's the Mayim? What is that Mayim? Either way, regardless, guys, that's Kuf Yud. Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Beis are beautiful, beautiful prakim. Beautiful prakim. They're going to be really nice. They're both in the Aleph Beis, in the form of the Aleph Beis. They're both referring to the greatness of God and his the tzidkus of what he's given to tzaddikim. But they're really, really nice. So let's look in these Aleph Beis ones. Haluka Oda Hashem B'cholevav. I praise God. I thank him with all of my heart. Besod Yesharim Eidah. In the council of all those who are upright and a whole congregation. I will thank God publicly. This is not going to be secluded as if I don't want people to hear. I want everyone to be involved over here. The reason why this is an Aleph Beis is he wants everyone to look closely at the works of God and to remember all of his wonders, all of his deeds, and everything they did over here. The purpose over here is to implant in our hearts our faith and belief that a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes the world the way it's supposed to be and that everything's going to be over here. Hallelujah is the highest praise. Hallel is to praise. And Yah is on the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we do it over here. Okay, so that's that over here. And that, fine. Gidolim Ma'aseh Hashem. Great are the works of God. Durushim L'chol Chavtzeim. They are desired by anyone who wants to see them. If you want to see the works of God, you're going to see them in any part of nature. My kids are so funny. Like, they take after me, but like, I can't tell if it's nature or nurture, if it like comes from them or it's because I've like raised them this way. My kids, they wanted to get a video. So I'm like, all right, what kind of video are you going to get, right? They got a National Geographic, like, extinction video, you know? Like, with all these different animals and stuff like that. And they're, like, watching it together, like, Daddy, how long do you think it'll take for all the elephants to go extinct? I'm like, oh, my gosh, seriously? Like, I can't believe I raised you kids, right? But that's the video that they wanted over here. See, the natural phenomenon of nature, right, is awesome if you're looking in the right way to find God. So there are unbelievable things over here. Well, everything has a use, where everything has an unbelievable purpose, where you can see it. And if you look at, if it refers to the Torah itself, Gedolim Ma'aseh Hashem, you've heard of the Torah is secrets and certain things that you can learn from. You couldn't even believe that it's there. Like, unbelievable, these crazy things that are right over there, right? Some great, wondrous wisdoms that are there. And that's what it means, Gedolim Ma'aseh Hashem, that the works of God are beyond something that's great over here. Listen, I'm not a big Bible codes guy. I'm not. But it is kind of amazing what they're able to do with it. There are some really amazing things. You know one from this week's parsha, right? With Rachel Mesa? It's at the very beginning, right? When he has the dream and the sun and the moon and the stars bow down to him, right? So Yaakov Avinu says to him, right, what are you talking about? Am I going to come with your mother and bow down to you to the ground? Your mother's dead. How is that going to happen? So the wording is, it says, what is this dream that you dreamed? Am I really going to come with your mother and your brothers to bow down to you to the ground? So if you look at the words right over there, the last letter of Asher, and then Chalamta, and then the first letter of Havo is Rachel Mesa. That's awesome. That's awesome. Like, I'm not saying that that's, you know, like, oh, now I believe in God. I don't need you to believe in God through just that. But it happens to be awesome. So, like, when you look at the secrets of God, when you start learning these things and you start realizing what they are, it's unbelievable. And that's the idea.
Gematria, too?
Yeah, gematria and any type of other thing where, if used properly, they're amazing. There are amazing secrets that we just don't know that are hidden inside the Torah itself and stuff like that. That's the idea behind it. Okay, Hod v'hador pa'alo. What is the works of God? Hod, splendor, and hador, and majesty. I don't know if one is the other. Maybe hod is majestic and hador is splendor. Whatever you want to call it. In the English, in the art school, what does he say over there by Pasuk Gimel? How does he translate it? How does yours translate it?
His work in splendor and majesty.
Splendor and majesty, that's what he says? Okay, what do you have?
Glory and majesty.
glory and majesty. All right, whatever. Tzidkas ol medes la'ad, the tzidkus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands forever. Now, what's hod v'hoder palo? Every creature was created in God's image. And we talked about this before. Every single creature on earth looks like God in a certain way. Meaning, there is no creature on earth that doesn't have the same basic look. Two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and ears. They were all created in that fashion. Yes, meaning snakes don't necessarily have the nose, but you see where the nose would go, right? Fish are all the exact same way as well. They have eyes, they have a nose, where the nose would be, they have a mouth right there. Yeah, even so, but it's still like double eye, you know what I'm saying? Like they all look the same. Yeah. You just see it. It's just, you know, certain animals have them over there. Some have them. But you never see, like, for example, like an eye over here and an eye over there. You can't even imagine that. It just doesn't make any sense. Like the mouth, like over here. You just don't have it. The only time you'll have it is by certain type of mollusks in the sea. I'm sorry?
You would say Mashana Abrius.
Yeah, for sure. But the wonder behind it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the whole world with one stamp, so to speak. Everything is the same. Everything is basically the same. That righteousness is there forever. And it really is amazing. You can't even really imagine a monster that looks somewhat different. Every animal basically has that same structure. The same structure as a regular human being, just in different places. Like, there's where the eyes would go if there were no eyes. We can't even imagine, like, a blob or something like that that would be out there. It just doesn't make any sense to us, even though, clearly, that there's something like that. Right. But even science fiction, they all look like human beings.
Not always.
Think about it.
Yeah, every Star Trek character.
No, that was a rule of Star Trek. Because
so with J.R.R. Tolkien. Tolkien also.
Tolkien had what?
All the fantasy creatures. They all basically look the same.
Avatar?
Well, I don't even know Avatar.
None of Lovecraft's.
Oh, you assume, yeah? It's just saying, like, could there be something? Of course there could be something else. It's just like, it's difficult to imagine what it would be like otherwise. That's what I'm saying. It's just amazing in that way.
Like, man was created by Tzalmo Ubedemuso, not all.
Because they don't have the thought process. And that line, Tzalmo Ubedemuso, is the thought process and the abilities that we have over everything else. But that same basic image, meaning the image of what God wanted, is the same throughout all of creation, with very, very few exceptions, which is an awesome idea over here. Also, Hod V'Hoder Pa'alo could also refer to the stars in the sky and the wonders of the sky. I am shocked. Anytime I go to the planetarium, which I don't like to freely admit, but anytime I go to the planetarium, there are amazing things out there. Like the pictures that the Hubble telescope is able to come up with that they bring back. It's amazing. Like the gases in the sky with the colors that are out there. It's just, they're amazing things. That's the Hod V'Hoder Pa'alo. Zecho Asan L'Osef, he made a memorial for all of his wondrous works. Chanun V'Rachum Hashem, he does so by favoring with grace and compassion. And he has mitzvos as a zecher form. He has Shabbos, he has Yom Tov. He has things like that that allow us to constantly sit down and think about, like, what are we doing? Where is God in our world, etc.? It's one thing that we think about God. It's another thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up a date for us to think about Him and think about the wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put inside the world. Terev Nasan L'Reav, He thus gave food to those who fear Him. Yizkor L'Olam Briso, so that everybody will remember His covenant, His bris that He made with them forever and ever and ever. That Torah and greatness will go together in one place. That's the idea. Koach Masav Yilamo, He then told over His great works to all of His people, Laseis Lahem Nachlas Goyim, and to give to them the heritage of all the nations, that it should be there for all the nations out there. That again, only with the Torah itself would the Jewish people be able to get whatever they need from it. That's the idea, that they're going to get everything that they could possibly get over here. Now, I don't need to go into 28. We'll think about it later on. Maisi Yodav Emesu Mishpat, the handiwork of God, are two things. There's Emes, that everything has to be absolutely true, and Mishpat, where judgment has to take place as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes with Mishpat over Emes. That sometimes means that people are judged more favorably than Emes would allow them to. Because, seriously, if you go up to Emes and you say, what should happen to a person who sinned? Emes will tell you he should be killed. How could you go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mishpat is, give him time. Give him time, it depends what it is, right? That's what Mishpat does. Ne'amanim kol pekuda, but all of his commands are faithful. You have to believe that even though we don't understand them completely, there might be chukim, things that we don't understand at all. And the truth is, all mitzvos are technically chukim, right? We don't really understand everything, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, eat matzah over Pesach. Well, why? Why do I need that matzah over Pesach? What's the real reason? Because I ate it when I was leaving Mitzrayim? Because I was a slave in Egypt? Well, what's the real reason why I'd even not say? It's all a choke, and something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just commands us to do, which we don't really fully understand. But nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trustworthy that whatever he decides there. Now, man is not trustworthy. A guy can come up to you and he can say something, and he'll just be like, What in the world? So I went today. I went to Lowe's, in order to get a new toilet for our bathroom, right? I went there. I went to the guy. I'm like, so what are the best toilets around here, you know, at a cheaper price? So he showed me the stuff, and he showed me there's a Champion thing over here. You should get this one, right? It's an automatic flush, and he says it gets golf balls inside there. So I'm like, you really? You can put golf balls inside there? He's like, you're going to have to trust me on that one. I'm like, dude, I don't know you. What do you mean, trust you on that one? I have no idea who you are. What?
It has nothing to do with the toilet.
That's the pipe.
No, it's the flushing thing.
No, it's nothing. Even that has to do with the water pressure inside your own house.
No, flushing mechanism.
It also has to do with the water pressure in your house. Your water has...
I don't know if that's true.
Either way, a lot of golf balls.
Yeah. Either way, yeah, they did. The picture on the thing is exactly that, full of golf balls and flushing down the toilet. That's exactly the thing on it. But either way, that's what it is. That we have to trust in a way that... Hopefully.
Well, I'm saying he knew you had a lot of good balls.
I told him. Smukhin la'ad la'olam. These laws are set up forever and ever. That the laws will never be changed. Asuyim be'emes v'yashar. You have to understand they are done in truth and righteousness. I may not totally understand it, but you're going to have to, again, it's a trust from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is done for the right reasons, and that faith cannot be shaken. That it's a foundation of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it in the best way possible. Now,
Smukhin la'ad la'olam, but he sort of gave us the right to alter them.
What do you mean?
Or reinterpret them.
Midrabanan, do you mean?
Yeah.
Hey, up to a point, as long as you're upholding what the mitzvah is all about.
Yeah, but sometimes it gets lost.
Give me an example.
I'll think about one.
Like, right? Normally, it's the safeguard. Like, muksa, by definition, right, safeguards that we don't do malacha on Shabbos. That's the norm when it comes to something like that. I can't tell you that it's always that way, but typically speaking, all the Drabbanans are supposed to be shmiras on the regular mitzvahs as opposed to. Sometimes the Rabbanan will define what the mitzvah is, like the 39 malachos, right, on Shabbos, what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos.
But is that really smuchin la'ad la'olam? Like, they've
been established
they've
forever.
They've redone the framework, so to speak.
I don't know if it's the framework. They're redoing the details. Hear what you're saying. That would take a little bit of work. We need examples of what happened to try to explain it. And I'm sure if we gave examples, we could understand it. But muksa would be my go-to one. Muksa is my go-to durabanan that the rabbis made up. But the whole point of that was a shomer, was to be a shmira. Not saying there aren't any that are not clearly shmiras. I don't know. Maybe we'd have to think about a durabanan that possibly would work in that way. Or possibly a way of the way they define the deal raisa to apply in a certain situation. You know, like a chosha mishpap shot. I don't know. But another thing we learned from this pasuk, and I think you all know this, there is a concept called smuchin in the Torah. If you have two psukim right next to one another, you can learn a lesson from the fact that this pasuk is written next to this pasuk. That's the idea of what smuchin are. Smuchin la'ad la'olam. Smuchin work forever. They have the ability to go wherever the text. You have adjacent ones, adjacent texts that are going to go through that you can learn from there. What's the wording? Give me the wording. Ah, thank you. Art school word. A word. I love that word. The juxtaposition of the text is the possibly best out there. And then we say, and Pasuk Tes, Pidus Sholach Lamo, he sends redemption to his people. Tzivalo Lom Briso, he has commanded that bris to last forever. Kadosh V'Nora Shemo, his name therefore is holy and awesome in everything he does. That's what he does over here. And in Pasuk Yud, Reishis Chochma Yuras Hashem, the beginning of wisdom, the first thing that a person needs when he becomes wise is Yuras Hashem. If Yuras Hashem Koidim L'Chochmasoi, then his Yiras Hashem endures forever. If his Chachma is greater than his Yiras Hashem, then unfortunately that does not last forever. Seichel toiv l'chol oseyan. Good seichel for those who do the mitzvos. They'll have an understanding that is beyond what other people do. Tilaso medes l'ad, and his praise then will last forever, will endure forever, because people will finally realize what it is. Hi, halavai, that we keep the mitzvos enough that we get the proper seichel to be able to do it. Truth is, that is exactly what we try to teach in yeshiva. The point of yeshiva is not the bikkias for you to know more or to understand what oxen are like or to understand like what to do if you find something in the street. That's not the point. The details are not what's necessary. It's the svara behind it. The logic behind how Chazal viewed the Torah is the logic you need to have proper seichel and understanding God's world. That if you end up using that seichel that you learn from Iyun, to understand the way of understanding, the way of going through a sugi, the way of understanding how to look at something, then all of a sudden you'll understand how the world works. And that's the idea of Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. If you go into it Yiras Hashem, then yeah, you'll gain Chachma, which will lead you to have Seichel, which eventually will get you to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea. Why in these last two psukim, every one of these psukim, there was two letters, and all of a sudden it's three and three? No idea. I can't tell you whatsoever. I've never understood it. It seems like they're connected to one another, but I don't understand why. I don't get that.
David wrote this tale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we assume that this was at the end of his life?
The hallelujahs were at the end of his life. He didn't get it until Avshalom died. Hallelujahs were not said until Avshalom died.
It seems like he's just like summing up the world.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's not a bad idea. This is one of the best ones. These two are two of my favorite ones altogether. Right? How he says
like
and how they go through.
It was always about like, I'm running from this guy. Yep. I'm going to this place.
Yeah, and the whole point behind this is how the neshama endures. How it lasts. How everything works out well. Right? And it goes together. That's the awesome part behind all this. If only we totally understood it. All right, let's look at Kuf Yud Beis. Everybody look at Kuf Yud Beis over here. Kuf Yud Beis Aleph. Kuf Yud Beis is it really a continuation of Kuf Yud Aleph. It's really going on a little bit further. Hallelujah. Asher Yishur Eis Hashem. Happy is the person who fears God. B'mitzvos of Chafetz Moav and his mitzvos. He's very, very, he desires to do them very, very well. This is a person who's really just a good man. He wants to do the right thing. He has a complete reward. He has good stuff in Olam HaZeh. We're talking about a guy who's happy. He's happy to do what Hashem wants him to do. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, gives him a certain law, whatever it is, that doesn't take him away. He's like, wow, that's another opportunity for me to grow, another way for me to be able to get something.
Than the guy in Kuf Yud Aleph, Reish Yitzchak Ma'iras Hashem?
No, well, I think it's the same. I think it really goes through. That once you get to Reish Yitzchak Ma'iras Hashem, you're talking about a guy who's happy in his Yiras Hashem, right? Who knows what he's doing it properly and understands. He does it greatly. B'mitzvos HaChafetz Moav, he desires so much. He's the guy who goes out there and says, not, oh man, I got to spend $150 on an Esrog and Lulav. He's like, I can't wait to spend my $150 on an Esrog and Lulav. That's the difference between them. There are very few, but they exist. I promise you they exist. Right? The guy who's willing to spend his money on a mitzvah, because what else is he going to spend it on? What else is he going to do it on? A toilet? That's what he's going to spend his money on. It's one of the two.
I really love Lulav and Esrog, but I'm being extorted by this outrageous Esrog prices.
Let's just understand that it's hard to grow an Esrog. Let's assume. Lots of Jews have to make a lot of money so that they don't have to work all year long. They can just work for 1 month out of the year and make all of their money and be happy with the rest of their lives. Let's just assume that that's the idea behind it. Not that my brother is one of those people. Gibor ba'aretz yezaro. His children will be the strongest in the land. Dor yesharim yivorach. A generation of upright people will therefore be blessed. We're talking about not only him. His children are going to be benched. Everybody's going to look at his kids and they're going to be like, oh, those are awesome kids. I want to go ahead and be like that. That's the idea behind it. The generation becomes better because of him, right? Just because this person is around, the whole generation gets praised. They're like, oh, wow, we love that guy. We want to be around that guy. Compare it to a bottle where you fill it up to the brim and then you have little glasses all around. So when you fill it up, it overflows and goes into the cups on the side. Then when it overflows in the middle, when the guy in the middle becomes so great, the people around him end up going. We say, Tov l'tzadik, Tov l'shchena, right? The opposite of Oy l'rasha, Oy l'shchena, right?
Like
it's good for
philosophy.
A tzadik, it's good for that. What?
Sounds like a Republican philosophy.
Why not? You'll give to the others once you're overflowing and brimming, over brimming with everything that you possibly need. That's what it means, that the children will end up getting from everything you have over here and everybody is blessed. Hon v'oysher bebeso, riches and wealth are throughout this guy's house. V'tzid kaso omedes la'ad, and his righteousness, his charitableness, his desire to give over tzedakah with his own funds endures forever. And that's any tzid kaso. His own tzedakah. It doesn't mean something where he thinks he's losing it anyway, or money that's all the way out there that he doesn't know if he's ever getting, that he's giving his tzedakah. The tzedakah is that of his house, meaning his actual funds. That's what he's giving over as tzedakah. It's difficult to do that, right? But that's the biggest bracha when a person is willing to give even that stuff over here. Chazal learned from over here, if you keep a sefer Torah that your parents inherited for you and you don't sell it, then you guarantee hon va'osher beveso tzikaso medes la'ad. That's what happens if you keep the Sefer Torah rather than sell them. So too, Svarim. Even though a person might have a desire, I've got some wealthy Svarim, you know, I have some Svarim that are worth a lot of money. Maybe I should sell them and make a little bit of money off it. Hon va'osher bebeso. Keep it inside your house. I'm sorry?
What about that?
Yeah, I think that's okay.
Sells them, like, I guess I'm not make money, but also that someone else might learn more from it than I
to be able to get from it. That might be a different story because you realize that something's greater. You know, somebody might be able to get something more out of it. But on the other hand, that should be an even more of a, but why don't you get more out of it? There we go. Why don't you push yourself? That's the idea. What's up?
You have a set of Kabbalah.
You're done with it. So.
First of all, you're Sephardi. I don't want to hear that from you. Second of all, right? It's still, nonetheless, push yourself. I still have my shelf. I have my Chirim shelf, which I'm not going to read. And then I have my Kabbalah shelf. The Kabbalah shelf has not been used yet. It's got a little bit of dust on it, but soon, it's going to happen. You wait for it. It'll happen.
So the only way you're Hona V'Osher is if you don't sell it, but not if you, like...
Yeah, in other words, you think, oh, if I sell it, I'll make $60,000 off the Sefer Torah, off of these really expensive Sfarim. No, the only way you'll have Hona V'Osher V'Beso is if you keep it in the house. Keep it in there, and then you'll end up getting from it. That's the idea behind it. Zorach, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. There is a guy... who gave me, there was a guy got as a gift, a really expensive machzor. It was a machzor from 1680. Okay, it was redone, refinished, but with a leather bound, whatever it is. The guy said, like, I just don't want it. So he came up to me and said, do you want it? I said, yeah, of course I'll take it, right? I haven't used it yet in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'd like to, actually. I want to see what it's like davening out of, you know, a sefer from 300 years ago, right? But I have it in my house now, right? This isn't an exaggeration. He lost $5 million within the year of when he gave me that sefer. I'm not saying it's because he gave me the sefer. Maybe. But it did happen. The guy lost.
Didn't use the sefer, yeah.
Maybe. Oh, I'm not giving it away. Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's not there.
You don't have $5 million to lose yet.
Yeah. It might be Rebbe.
I can't tell. I can't say. Right? But at least, I don't know how much money, but it was crazy. Zarach Bachoshech Orli Yesharim. He shines in the darkness, a light for the Yesharim, for the good ones. The light in the darkness. We're talking Hanukkah time. Chanun v'rachum v'tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gracious, merciful, and a tzadik to the people that are like that. Tov yishchonenu malve. Great is a person who is gracious and lends to other people. Yechalkul dvarav b'mishpat. And also is supported with all of his words in judgment and everything that he does. He knows the when and the where. And here's the important thing. The guy who's willing to loan to other people knows that he's got to use a shtar and he's got to use edim. This is a very important thing. That when you lend to other people or you borrow from other people, you always have edim involved and a shtar involved. Why is that so important? Because unfortunately, there are many situations, where people will be willing to lend or willing to do something using a shtar, using edim, and they don't think about like why that's bad or why it's such a whatever it is and stuff like that. The shtar and edim help you remember that this loan exists, that you don't forget about it whatsoever. It's not a guarantee. You could still forget about it, right? But an eid echod at least, that if somebody's even a dollar, I go up to you, David, hey, can I borrow a dollar? I just want to get a Coke, right? You should have one guy there just in case. And if the guy's mochel, right? But it should be something like that. And that's the person who does it in mishpat, right? A guy who does that in mishpat. The next pasuk, he says, pasuk vav over here. Oh, that's interesting. I wrote down over here. Oh, another thing that it talks about is a guy who doesn't spend his money on luxuries. I've told you already that if I ever made a lot of money, first thing I'm buying is a room that's entirely a fish tank, right? That's it. That's what's going to happen, which is why I'm not going to make the money. I understand that. Rabbi Ovadia Bar Tanura had a brother who paid for him, and that brother did not make a lot of money. He lived a very, very poor life, gave half of his money to Rabbeinu Avadim Bar Tanura for the Bar Tanura to live his life as a great Talmud Chacham, and he himself lived extremely frugally, literally gave 50% of all of the money he ever made to his brother Rabbeinu Avadim. That's the unbelievable line over here of somebody who's Tov Ish Chonin Lumalve to his brother Kilo Olam Lo Yimot. He will never be moved. Nothing will be able to move such a person. Zechor Olam Yet Tzadik. He will be known forever as being an absolute tzaddik. That's what's going to happen to such a person. Mishmor Ra Lo Yira. He will never be afraid of evil things. Nachon Libo Batuach Bashem. His heart will be steadfast. He will always have bitachon and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what. And I think the first one is by far the most important. Mishmor Ra Lo Yira. He won't be afraid of any bad news. He's not going to get bad news. People won't tell him anything that he's afraid of. Everything's going to work out well for this guy. What an unbelievable bracha. What kind of a bracha is that? Anybody would beg for such a bracha. To be able to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing bad should happen. I should never even hear bad news. That's exactly what we ask. Besoros Tovos, not Besoros Ros. That's what we're saying. And even when it does, it has no effect on him. Even when he hears bad news, he doesn't get anything bad. Gamzu Latova. Kol David Rachman Latav Avid. That's what he says to himself. That's the pure tzaddik of Eretz. Samuch Libo Liyira. His heart is resolute. He relies on God. He is never afraid. Adasher Yiravitzarav. He will yet see his enemies go down. Pizar Nasan Lav Yonim, he gives distributions to all the poor people. Tzidkasu Omed Eslad, his sitkus will thus last forever. Karno Tarum Dechavoyib, his horn will be exalted in his own honor. People will all want to be together with him, and they'll know how to honor him, etc. Russia Yira Bechos, while the Russia sees all this, and he's so angry. He sees this guy giving away his tzedakah, giving away all of his money, and he's saying, like, oh, I can't wait till this guy gets poor. And the Russia sees that he remains rich, and he's sitting there, and he's so angry. Why is this guy losing? Shinav Yacharok Venamos. He gnashes his teeth, and it melts within him his desires. Tavas Rashaim Toved, because the taiva of the Rashaim will perish. He no longer will be able to do what he wants to do, because he sees the tzaddik succeeding so badly, he loses desire to sin. And maybe this line of Tavas Rashaim Toved is that Yitamu Chatoim in Aretz, the Chatoim, the sins will be gone from the land. So to rehear, the Rashaim will exist. They will continue to be tzaddikim, because no longer will they do the bad things in this world. That's what we're saying over here in Pasuk Yud. All right, guys, we are on Kuf Yud Gimel. Kuf Yud Gimel, as we said before, starts over Hallel, and that goes through Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet, Kuf Tezvav, Kuf Tezayin, Kuf Yud Zayin, and Kuf Yud Ches. Right, we're going to go through them, right? And we're going to go through all of Hallel now. Hallelujah, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, Hallelu Hashem Hashem. Three times the word Hallelu is mentioned over here because we are obligated to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over and over and over again for all the good things that He's done for us. Yishem Hashem Mevarach Me'atav Yidolam. May God's name be blessed forever and ever. Me'atav Yidolam in this world and in the next world. Not everyone is worthy of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not everyone knows the greatness of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for him. But I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I recognize your Ashkacha. I realize what you've done for me. I am going to sing your praises always for everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for me, and that's that. Sefer HaChassidim writes about this thing over here, and he says, if a man lives in a certain area and there is no minyan that's possible for him, or he arrived late for a minyan, right, and he didn't get there on time, he should say the words, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach Me'atov Yad Olam. If he says this, along with two psukim, one in Bamidbor and one in Yecheskel, right, that could take the place of what he wasn't able to do when it came to a minyan, meaning he's an ones, there's nothing he could do, couldn't make minyan on time, at least say these three psukim. Says the Sefer HaChassidim that that's what a person should do if he should get there over here, those psukim right over here. Okay, that is that. I'm sorry? Don't. There you go. You ask me a Shiloh? Don't ask me the Shiloh. I can't, I don't want to bask on that. Anyway, but that's that. Up until now, we've had Thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the great things. This one is all about, we know that in exile, things are bad that happen. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you're with me. I know you're helping me. And that's the idea. There's geula everywhere. Whether Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this Tehillim, it's such a funny line. In the Medrash, it says, Rabbi Yossi said, my son Elazar said that Moshe made this song when they were in Mitzrayim. They made this in Mitzrayim. But it makes sense that David HaMelech wrote it because it seems to be toward the end of David HaMelech's life. But says Rabbi Yossi, I understand my son a lot better than everybody else. Why? Because how in the world could they have been in Mitzrayim and not said Hallel? That's the line that he gives. How could they have not sung Hallel? It must be that Hallel because they must have done it over here.
No,
either way.
They didn't have
this.
What reason did they have to say Hallel?
Well, once they left.
Yeah,
Az Yashir. Yeah, Az Yashir is what they're saying. But did they have a hallel that they praised the Kadosh Baruch Hu when they brought the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim? What did they have when they saw that the Makos were happening? Is there something that they had for redemption? It could be they had another song. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu made a redemption song for them. But it's Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Yeah, it's very possible they made it over there. Either way, regardless, that's what we say over here. This is what we say. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mavo, from the east sun until the setting of the sun, Mavo Hashem Hashem, may the name of the God be praised. Not in the north, not in the south, but the east and the west. Why? No Jews live in the north, no Jews live in the south, because it's too cold. It's not the real reason. North Pole and the South Pole, obviously no people live there. We live in the east and west of the world, so to speak. But we don't live up and down. Even though there are some people that are living in Scandinavia, Norway, and Sweden, and Upper Russia, they shouldn't. In Canada, they shouldn't.
Canada.
I'm okay with southern Canada, like Ottawa. That's okay.
Probably. What?
Zmanimishes for sure. Oh, it's so cold. I didn't understand. Yeah, I don't want to hear that. But that's the idea behind it. We bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the east to the west for our success, even when we go down. There is a machlokas, by the way, if you can say Hallel out of order. Can you do the Hallel out of order? Halachically, you got to do all of Hallel in order. It could be that we learn it from over here. Mizrach Shemesh Admavol from one part to the other. Hold on. What? Yeah, if you're saying with a bracha, it's very difficult to do that. What's up?
Why is someone late? Or let's say, like, they're in minyan, they go to the bathroom, if they come back, like, do they start from the beginning, or?
I'm telling you right now, do not be late for Hallel. Okay? I'm telling you right now, Don't go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom before davening and make sure you don't have problems.
So you're not up to date with you're not up to that part.
Up to that part. Up to date, I hope you are. Okay, you're on the same day, right? But let's say you're in. I'm still on chakras from 4 days ago. I'm sorry. I'll catch up soon.
They're up to something else. So do you start from the beginning?
I understand what you're saying. You have to do Hodu Lashem Kitov with the Tzibor and Ana Hashem Oshiyana with the Tzibor. However you can make that happen, make that happen. If you want to wait and say Hodu Lashem with the Tzibor and then start your Hallel straight, you could probably do that. You
got to
say Hodu Lashem. Yeah. If you know the Tzibor is going to sing, start from the beginning. If you know they're going to fly, right, then maybe you should only start from there and say that whole Hallel afterward. Because you really got to say Hodu Lashem Kitov together with the Tzibor. That's the whole point of doing with the Tzibor. Romal Kol Goyim Hashem. Hashem is exalted among all the other nations. Allah Shemaik Vodo. His glory is over the heavens. Mika Hashem Elokeinu Mabi Lo Shoves. Who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is enthroned on high. HaMashpil Lerosh Vashmayim Va'aretz. Who lowers himself to look at the heavens and the earth. There's no reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bring himself down. But he does if he needs to. Mikimi Me'afar Dol. He rises up the poor people from the dust. Me'ashpo. And he takes the destitute and he lifts them out from the garbage heap, from the dunghill that's over here. So sometimes we're talking about a guy who is absolutely poor, right? And the other times we're talking about a person who is absolutely lowly. Dol is a poor person. The Evyon, right, although normally means a destitute, very, very poor, he has no money whatsoever. Over here, it means a guy whose spirits are low. He's in the dunghill and he can't get out of it. He just thinks that he's living in garbage. The worst thing that happens when people really give up. They just get so sad, they just don't want to deal with things anymore. Then what do you do? What do you do in that case, when you have such a thing when it comes to that? There is an allusion here to the Western Wall. When Suleiman, who was the Sultan, right, in the days of when the Turks took over a while in the 1600s, he was the one that made the wall. He was looking for the Kosel Maravi. He knew that the Kosel Maravi still existed, but they had no idea where it was. Eventually, he saw people that were throwing garbage in a certain area. He said, why are you throwing garbage inside the walls? You should throw the garbage outside the walls. I guess the walls were different by then because Suleiman made a whole area of walls after all this. But either way, he said, why are you throwing it over here? You should throw it out there. So she said, this woman said to him, we have a minug that whenever we throw away garbage, we throw it in this spot. Suleiman realized, So he started removing all of the garbage and they found the Kosel Maravi. That's where they found the Kosel Maravi, under the heap of garbage that put into us all together. And that's the idea. It's me'ashpos, from the garbage yarim evyon. You bring out the Western Wailing Wall. I'm sorry? I would assume almost 1,000. Yeah, I mean 1,500, right? 1,000, maybe more. Lo shivi im nidivim, so that you may set him together with the princes, im nidivi with the princes of his people, chashav people. Pasuk tes, mo shivi akaris habayis, the barren one of the household will be dwelling together with everybody else. Ema banim smecha, the mother of children will be happy. Hallelujah. Many women, this is referring to like Hannah and Sarah, the wife of Manoach, etc. You're going to have good children. Mo shivi akaris habayis, there's an extra yud in there to refer to, you'll even have 10 children. Like Hannah was supposed to have 10 children altogether. Maybe it refers to Rachel Aminu, who's crying for her children in exile. Perhaps referring to that. Ema Banu Smecha also refers to Chana. Anybody know what Chana? Chana and her 7 sons? Remember what happened with her?
Was that Hanukkah?
Around the time of Hanukkah, we don't know exactly when it was. But each one of the kids said a pasuk and died al kiddush Hashem. The 7th one, right? Chana told the last kid, "Go tell Avram Avinu that he only sacrificed 1 kid. I was willing to sacrifice all 7 of my kids." Then she fell off the roof and killed herself. And the pasuk, the bas kol, came out for Shemaim and said, "Ema banim semecha, hallelujah." Right? That the mother of children is happy forever and ever. May praise the Lord. That's what refers to that. Who knows what's going to be with stuff like that? All right, let's see. We can fit down one more over here. We all know this Tehillim as well. B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, Perek Kuf Yud Dalet. B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, when B'nei Yisrael, the men, left Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'am Lois, the woman left the foreign nation. Ha'isi Yudah L'Kadshai, Yehuda became a very holy nation. Yisrael, Mam Shalosav. Yisrael became his dominion, his power, right? The power that's over here, and that's what it refers to. B'nei Yisrael, right, ended up getting out of their lower level over here. They were set up completely, and then B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. Like the last Tehillim is sort of like when things were so bad and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted us up, took care of us, then he takes us out of Egypt. He brings us completely out from the land that's there. I see Yehuda L'Kadshai. At that point, Yehuda becomes very holy. He becomes the Melech. He's willing to jump into the sea and become the king of all of Klal Yisrael. He'll be the leader of all Klal Yisrael. Yisrael, Mam Shalosav. Yisrael has the rulership. They're the ones who are around here. Some say, B'tzeiso Me'am Loez. B'tzeiso Me'am Loez. Loez is from the people that were slandering. There was were slandering the Jews and saying that the women were sleeping with Egyptian men. So these Jewish kids were not really Jewish kids, they were Egyptian men, not Jewish men. To that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his name on them, put a Yud Hey on each one, Mishpachas HaChanochi, Mishpachas HaPalui, Mishpachas HaChatzroni, put a Hey and a Yud in their name to show that I promise you these are all Jewish kids. Why? It's one of the greatest miracles that we ever had is that in many of the nations where we have been exiled that have tried to destroy us, they didn't want to be together with our wives. They considered us vermin and considered our wives despicable and therefore did not have half Jewish children by sleeping with those women. I'm sorry? They would be Jewish, but they would have that half Goyisha, you know, blood inside them. That didn't happen for many, many years, like the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. There were obviously situations where women were raped, but there were so few in number because they considered us like bugs. How dare you be together with a Jew? It could have been like a crime. So too with the times of Romans, right? In the times of the Romans, so too in the times of the Egyptians. It didn't always happen, unfortunately. There were times where they slept together. The Muslims was what? Same thing? Because it goes by the father, it's patrilineal descent by them. Yeah, I think that's the idea behind it. It's a little bit different.
That was a villain, was the plan with the opposite.
Yeah. To seduce the men in order to get the men out. And I don't know what he was going to do with the woman, but at least get them to sin and maybe God would punish them. I think that's what it's supposed to be. But that's the idea behind it. Some understood also that this is a nation, Me'am Loes. They refused to speak the language of the Egyptians. We all know that they changed the language of the Egyptians over here. Some say that this refers to all four things, that they didn't change their names, is Betzeis Yisrael. They didn't change their language, Me'am Loes. Yehuda Lekadsho means they didn't do Arias. And Yisrael Mam Shalosav is that they didn't do Gizela either. They kept their own stuff. Hayom Rav Ayanos, when the sea saw these people and the greatness that they had, it ran away. The Yamsuf split from those people. Hayarden Yisov Da'achor. The Jordan River will do this the same way. The Jordan River didn't split, right? Yisov, it turned backward because the Jordan River was a river flowing that way. All the Jordan River did was it stopped and went up. Yisov Da'achor went backward instead of flowing that way. So the Yamsuf split when it saw the nation. The Yarden went up. Seeing the greatness of what Bnei Yisrael had, whether they saw the staff of Moshe, whether they saw God's name, whether they saw Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, or maybe they understood what was happening. Maybe the waters themselves were given permission to do what they wanted. Aharon Rakdu Chayilim. Then by Har Sinai, the mountains jumped like rams, Gavos Kivnei Tzon, the hills like little sheep, to be able to go and try to get up to Har Sinai to get the Torah given on them. Malacha Yom Kisanus. What's up with you, O.C., that you're running away? Hayarden Tzisiv Lachor. What's causing the Jordan River to go behind? What's causing your behavior? That these mountains skip like rams and that they jump around the hills like little tzon. And the answer. The answer is because it's in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chuli Aretz, the presence of the trembling of the earth, Milifnei Elokai Yaakov, from before the God of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the sea and the Yarden. They look at everybody and they're like, well, what do you mean? Don't you see God here? Well, why? How could we not tremble and do whatever Hashem wants to do? He's able to turn a flint rock into a big stream of water. Chalamish, a rock lamayin omayim, into a fountain of waters. Obviously, there's a reference to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the rock into water for Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do that, then he very easily can turn the river or the Yamsuf into dry land. So if he's going to turn dry into wet, maybe he can turn the wet into dry. So the Yamsuf and the river said, we don't want to become dry. We're willing to split for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we're willing to do over here. So that's why they're willing to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll stop with that, guys. That's the end of Kuf Yud Daled.